Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to my Subaru for some more devotions on God and politics. And today I want to look at a scene in Scripture that is so fascinating because you have a mix of religion and politics and opposing people on the opposite end of the political spectrum, all coming against Jesus. And so turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. That's Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Later, the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. Now, the Pharisees, they were the most well-known, most commonly mentioned enemies of Jesus in the Scripture. They were the religious leaders. They were far-right, conservative. They wanted to usher in the kingdom of God through obedience and holiness to God. But then you have these supporters of Herod. They're called Herodians. And they were Jewish people that supported the Roman governor and the Roman rule over Judea. And so you couldn't find two groups of people that were more polar opposites politically, the Herodians and the Pharisees. And yet in this scene, we see them teaming up, working together to bring down a common enemy, and that is Jesus. Listen how these politicians talk to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You are impartial and you don't play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we? And Jesus saw right through their hypocrisy and he said, why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin and I will tell you. When they handed it to him, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. His reply amazed them. Notice, his reply doesn't anger them. It doesn't disappoint them. It absolutely amazes them. I love how Jesus gets himself out of these traps over and over and over with the religious leaders. Now, this was a very interesting question because there was a lot behind this culturally and historically. 25 years prior to this scene, there was a religious Jewish leader named Judas the Galilean. Judas the Galilean. And he led a revolt. He wanted to see the Roman rule usurped. And so he got a whole bunch of people. They got weapons. I mean, think Boston Tea Party here. And they went into the temple and they called all Jews to refuse to pay this tax. Now, this particular tax was called a head tax. It was a tax for the privilege of being part of the Roman Empire. And so you can understand why, especially for the Pharisees, every time they had to pay that tax, it was infuriating. It reminded them that they were not free and that they were under Roman oppression. And so he went into the temple, this Judas the Galilean, and he cleansed the temple. He turned over tables. He threw out the Gentiles. And if you're thinking that sounds familiar, you're right, because Jesus, right before the scene, had just done the very same thing. He turned over tables, kicked out the money changers, kicked out the people that didn't belong there, and proclaimed that this is my Father's house, and it is to be a house of prayer, and they've turned it into a den of thieves. And so all the religious leaders, all the people know exactly what's going to happen next. If Jesus is a revolutionary, what is he going to say about the tax? What is he going to say? And so they think they have him trapped, because if Jesus says, don't pay the tax, then he's going to be crushed. His movement, his revolution is going to be quelched, just like it happened with Judas the Galilean. They eventually caught him and killed him, and it ended the revolution. But if Jesus says, pay the tax, where does that put him with the people? So they think they have Jesus trapped, but he is so brilliant in the way he gets out of it. In fact, I'm going to leave that for the next time. And so I just want you to think on this passage. What does it look like? Here's the question. What does it mean, Christian, follower of Jesus, to live in this world but not be of this world? It's See, that's ultimately where Jesus is going. What does it mean to be a Christian and also be an American, but to be a Christian first? And we have to wrestle with these things. And so I look forward to continuing the story next time. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you. That is, may he smile at you and give you peace. God bless you guys. I'm looking forward to continuing the story. I'll see you next time.